Some other things to take a look at is the contract remedies, because one of the things that we're going to talk about in detail is the grounds for appointing a receiver. And a receiver is the last of the last resorts of remedies that courts are likely to grant. So one of the things that comes up in many circumstances is that you may have, as an applicant for a lender, the obligation to show that you have exhausted your legal and contractual remedies, or that they would otherwise be ineffective. And if you haven't done that, if you haven't bothered to comb the loan documents to see what your contractual remedies are and to at least come up with a likely story as to why those remedies are inadequate and would not have been effective had you tried them, you may end up with a court telling you, I'm so sorry, maybe after you go and do A, B, and C, or try some other less intrusive judicial remedy, I might consider appointing a receiver. But going into court with a idea that you're going to get a receiver because your loan documents say you can appoint a receiver, the lender is entitled to appoint a receiver as of right, without a bond and without showing the absence of any other legal remedy, that's a difficult proposition. We'll talk about the specific case, the Riverside case, when we get to it. But just because your loan documents tell you you can do all of these things and get judicial relief without dotting your I's and crossing your T's under the rules with respect to bonds, with respect to showing the absence of other remedies, doesn't always work. Equity is the province of the court. The courts have discretion to decide whether they're going to grant equitable relief or not. And the fact that the parties have said that they don't need to make these showings is a factor that courts will consider in Texas, but it is not conclusive or decisive. And everyone needs to know, every provision in loan documents that tell you can have a receiver or get injunctive relief without a bond doesn't work. Because the one thing that the rules tell you is that to get an injunction, to get a receiver, you have to have certain bonds. And the cases tell you that if you don't have a bond, the order appointing the receiver, the order granting the injunction is void. So it's almost one of those things, and guess what? There are lawyers there that don't do real estate all the time, litigators who don't do real estate all the time that think those contract provisions work. Those of you who draft them, I tend to put in something that, to the effect, depending on the size of the transaction, that the parties stipulate and agree that no bond in excess of a particular amount will be required, because it at least puts something on there that is not void on its face. All right. Another thing, since 10 years ago, there was an issue, a kind of esoteric issue about enforcing receiverships to collect rents. And the reason for that is, as we'll get into when we go through the specifics, some of the statutory grounds for getting receivers appointed are available to enforce liens and collateral. The assignment of rents arguably was not supposed to create a lien, but that's no longer a problem, and it's a cautionary tale in reading the old cases where sometimes that comes up, and reading the cases about the adequacy of legal remedies. We didn't have TARA in 2010. It is a nice, simple statutory remedy, and I would suspect in many cases this go-round, that courts are going to say, well, did you try it? And if you haven't, you better have a good reason why you didn't, and are now coming to the court to ask for some kind of extraordinary judicial relief when you haven't exercised your contractual and statutory remedies. All right. What is a receivership? A receiver is the arm or instrumentality of the court. Basically, it is the hand of the court. The court says, take possession of this property and orders a receiver to do certain things with it. The receiver is essentially the, you know, like the hand of the king. They're doing what the judge says. And in most instances, as long as they're following the order that the judge gave them, they have, the receiver has at least limited judicial immunity as the hand of the court.